Welcome to Nerdy For, the podcast where I, Amy Brown, ask interesting and funny people what they're nerdy for. I have a very lovely friend here. I have David Perdue.
Hey.
Hi, David. David is an Atlanta comedian. He's been doing comedy for 13 years.
13 years, yeah.
And he has opened up for some famous people. Can you list some of the famous people?
Famous.
And I can drool on the microphone.
Yeah, no. At one point, Nate Bargatze, early on, I opened for him. Roy Wood Jr., Dulce Sloan, Michael Che.
These are like stadiums.
No, only one of the biggest venue was the Fox, or the Tabernacle, I should say. I've never did the Fox. The Fox is my last, like, my great white whale in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I've never
done the Fox. The Fox is a theater in Atlanta. But it's beautiful and huge.
It's great. That's the only one I've never, like, done. Everything else in Atlanta, I'm pretty sure I've, like, opened for somebody there.
That's fun.
Yeah.
The Tabernacle's pretty fancy.
It was. It's very fancy. I've been to plenty of shows there. So to, like, see it from the other angle, I was like, oh, this is fun.
What was the backstage like?
It's very nice. They have a bunch of guitars in the wall. And
are they locked up?
No, they're like just like artwork. Like there's people. Yeah, there's a bunch of guitars and like
they're
artwork.
Painted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think they're painted.
That makes it like the value.
It was
down.
All a blur. I've been back here like two or three times. It was all a blur.
Okay. Those are the famous people. Did you meet Oprah?
I did meet Oprah. That is
Oprah. Let's
I did
go.
Meet Oprah.
This
more
is
more
yes.
importantly, when I met her, she knew who I was already.
Oh my gosh.
That was
Oprah knew you? Is that because she's psychic and a deity? Or is it
I'm gonna say yes to all those things. But I think mainly it was because I was on a show on her network. And so
was the show? I didn't know you were on a show on her network. We hang out backstage all the time and you're so humble. I would tell everybody.
This was so long ago. Yeah, it was like 2017. It was a show called Love
Is. So long ago.
Yeah, I mean, what is time after the pandemic? Who knows
what
time is? But
okay.
It was like 2017.
What was the name of the show?
It was called Love Is. It went one season. It got picked up for a second, and then they canceled it because some allegations came out or something. What? Something of that nature. I didn't have anything to do with it. But
was it on her new network?
Yeah, it was on her her own.
What was the premise of the show?
So the premise was based
off... And what did you do to get it canceled?
Okay. The premise of the show was it was based off of the kind of the life of Mara Brock-Akil. I don't know if you know who Mara Brock-Akil is.
Mara
Brock-Akil. She is
that
like...
That sounds a little bit like that joke, like Mary Kill.
Oh, yeah. No, not quite that. So Mara is an incredible writer, and she's written for like Moesha. She wrote the show Girlfriends.
Yeah.
Girlfriends. I'm forgetting. It's a bunch of shows. She's like TV Black TV royalty, and she finally decided to write a show based kind of off her life as a writer coming up in LA. And I got to play a writer in the writer's room.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So
you have writer energy.
Everybody says that, and I think it's the glasses. And I'm here to tell people.
And the fun hoodie that's like decorative.
The hoodies,
yeah.
That I will take that more than the glasses. People think, I just want to say this for the glasses community out there, we get mislabeled a lot. People think like, because I think people see glasses. I told somebody, and they were like, you look like you're in computers. They're like, you look like you're into computers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm honestly like my upbringing, I'm like a jock with an astigmatism. So like, I played sports and I wouldn't say I wasn't nerdy, but I also wasn't like deep into stuff. But I think the glasses
think
make people think.
The assumption
nerdy.
Is you done wore your eyes out reading too much, and then that's why you're wearing glasses. But
I would love that.
You can just have bad eyes and not do any reading.
That's me. Bad eyes, love audiobooks.
Right?
Yeah.
I started wearing glasses recently and I love it.
They're great.
Especially on stage, it blocks the light from kind of getting in and hurting my eyes too badly. Like this little rim up here.
Does it protect you?
Protects me so I can see the audience a lot better.
I stopped wearing mine on stage as an experiment.
Oh, yeah.
To see how people respond.
Yeah.
And I realized I can do more with my face
without
my glasses.
That's
so
very deep.
But also I can see less.
Well, you're getting less Botox. You're getting less Botox than I am. So maybe I'm just kidding.
You don't know my Botox intake.
You're right. I don't know your life. You could be Botoxing.
I don't go Botox.
I have a cramp in my foot.
That's a really good start.
Yes.
I said Botox and my foot had a fit.
Uh-oh.
So, okay.
Do people get Botox in their feet?
What was the premise of Love Is?
Okay, yeah. So it was like Mara's coming up as a writer. So it was like based on her life.
That's right.
Yeah, it was based on her life.
And you were one of the writers.
I was one of the writers.
Do you have a favorite line from it?
I had to do a very classic like hot girl walk in and then I ad-lib like a damn. Like I did one of those.
You need glasses to do that.
Yeah, I needed glasses to do that. I remember my first line is my most favorite, and it's because I forgot my actual line, the written line. And I said, it was something about somebody having kids. And I said something like, oh, you know, something about like you should be happy to have those little blessings or something like that, right? Because I forgot my line. So I just made up what I thought the line was. And then they go, cut. And before, I'd never done anything before. And so I'd always heard from people who had done stuff. They were like, if they start talking to you, that's when you're in trouble. But if they're not talking to you, you're good. So they were like, cut. And then she goes, you. And I go, oh, no, they're going to kick me off set because I forgot the line. And then she goes, I love your flavor. Keep doing that.
Oh, that's nice.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah. Ooh, head of the class.
Yeah. So that's also when I learned about what is like ADR when you get to come afterwards. So,
yeah, what's ADR? Hold on.
I'm trying to remember what it actually stands for.
I don't know what it stands for, but for me, it stood for more money.
Oh.
So essentially, because they didn't have me mic'd up when I said some of my lines, I had to come back later and like say the lines, and they had to pay me for that.
Nice.
So yeah, it was like, I was like, I'll make up lines all the time.
You're going to start talking and like in scenes you're not even in, like off camera. Yeah. Like, oh, I didn't know he was in the room.
Yeah.
Just to come back and get those in.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Were you able to do it? Was that filming
automated
here?
Automated dialogue replacement.
Yes. I was that's the first time I heard that in my life.
Automated dialogue replacement. Yes. Did the robots make up this?
Yes. I was the first AI. That was long before we were doing
it. It was you.
It was me.
Now we're all in danger.
Here's a funny story. I actually feel responsible for the AI in comedy. This is very true. Like,
really?
During 2020, like during the pandemic, like the early stages of the pandemic, I got an email from somebody who worked at Georgia Tech, and they were like, hey, you're a comedian. Some of our students are working on this program around comedy. We'd love for you to like look at the stuff.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was like, they were like, we'll give you like $100. I was like, I'm sure. And so this computer would like spit out these jokes, and I would have to say, well, this is not good, and here's why it's not good. And I'm like, thank you. And then now they realize they're using it for like.
I didn't realize that you're the architect here.
I did it.
For $100.
I sold us out for $100. Yeah. And this is why comedians can't unionize.
Oh my gosh.
For $100.
That's kind of cool. Like, how long ago was that?
This was 2020. I remember. This was like 2020.
Oh, recently.
Yeah, this was 2020.
I just remember, like, computers were around for a long time before they were actually being useful for all the humans. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was not too long ago.
Yeah, this was, and I sat on my computer and I watched the dumb program try to spit out jokes, and they were like,
were they bad?
It was like,
do you remember any of them?
I don't remember any of them, but I can give you the general gist. It would be, because it was so bad, it'd be like, why did the chicken cross the road? And then it would say, like, honk your horn. Like, it would be like, it literally was like, oh, you are a computer. You're not even, like, human. You have no kind of touch. Mm-hmm. You can't touch base at all
with
reality. But
clearly
they worked it out because George Carlin has a whole special out.
Oh, wow. I haven't seen it. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, but it's a whole brand new special from Carlin, completely AI generated.
Do they know what George Carlin stood for and liked, and do they understand?
Sure they know, but do they care?
Oh, okay, there you go.
Who's they? The computers or the people programming them?
No, just the people that did that, because I feel like George Carlin's a very interesting pick to be like, we're going to feed him all of George Carlin's jokes and then pump out a brand new album once after he's dead. Yeah. Like,
also, his family, from what I heard, is not behind it. So
Oh, no.
Yeah.
His daughter not doing well health-wise and they were raising money for her?
That I don't know.
I think I saw that.
Yeah.
I think I saw that in
a... So you took money away from this dying woman by helping this AI.
Well, I mean, I thought maybe they would be doing that to make money for her.
Oh, no. I feel like even if she knew that they were going to do it, she would say, no, I'd rather, just based on who her father is, I can't see her being like,
it's not
in the
authentic.
Name of my father, do the AI to save me. I think she'd be like, you know.
But they did Michael Jackson, but Michael Jackson's father would be like, yes, more money.
Joe probably would co-sign all AI.
So yeah, they've been selling that child out since
he was a baby.
Since he was a baby.
They got a biopic coming out.
Yeah, they'd be like, man, is there a way I can make more money off my son? Perfect.
Oh, yeah. They got I think his like nephew was playing him.
Oh, wow.
And he looks so much like him.
Oh, wow.
That's cool. I might watch this one.
I was going to say maybe they got a clone made.
Anything is possible. I believe in clones.
We live in the future.
Yeah, I believe in clones. I believe in all of it now because you have to. Because money can buy you a lot of things that you didn't think existed.
You have to have the science too.
Or you have enough money to make people pretend that it's true. That's also a thing.
Oh. Like being suggested?
Yeah. Like the moon landing. No, like
he's like, here's the thing I'm nervous for. Yeah. Shadows in the pictures. Where are they at?
Right.
I love Stanley Kubrick's work.
So when did you met when you met Oprah?
Yes.
You were, so was this filmed in California or in
all
Atlanta?
All filmed in Atlanta.
Okay, and then Oprah came to Atlanta.
No, I had to fly to LA for a it was like a red carpet event. It was okay. Actually a pink carpet.
Paint a picture.
Okay.
Take your time.
All right, here's what happened.
How many white women have you had to explain the story to?
You'd be not as many as you think, actually.
My grandmother said she was not a good mother to my mother because they didn't have Oprah yet. Like
that makes
Oprah
so much sense.
Oprah saved a generation of people.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, she so as part of the show, they were having their premiere, and our characters, the writers weren't a part. They were like, oh, thanks, but y'all don't get to come to LA. And then they were like, they talked to them, like, they should be able to do, if they can get out here, they should be able to do the red carpet. So we were all like, all right, we're all gonna go. So it was like me and like four or five of us, I think, who are all now like, these are like real Atlanta actors and they've gone on to do great things. Me, I was just like, I'll go out there, do that.
Adventure.
Yeah, get on a couple shows, have a weekend or whatever, right? Fly out there.
A couple stand-up shows.
Yes. I didn't do more TV shows. So fly out there. We get an Airbnb, and I'll never forget, we took an Uber to the red carpet.
Okay.
And it dropped us off across the street, and you had to walk across the street to a red carpet event. And I'm like, I don't think this is how people do this.
This is 2017.
I think 2017, 2018, one of those years. I forget. It's all hazy now. But So we walk across the street, and my friend Atkins Esteban, who's great, he's on a show called Hightown. Uh-huh. On Showtime. He's incredible.
Nice.
So anyway, we walk across the street and we're kind of like in this like holding place where all the more famous people are walking and getting their picture taken. And at first they're like, who are y'all? And they're like, we had to like explain ourselves.
Did they send you badges in advance? Are you just there with no way to get in?
Other people had like their managers or agents to kind of like make sure that they were in the right place. I had none of that. It was just me. But I was with my friends who were part of the show. So that was like, okay, cool. So we're kind of getting this hold in place and we're about to go. And they're like, all right, wait. And they go, she's here. And I was like, oh, I know what that means.
You didn't even say, who it is. It's like,
so everybody's
like,
heads
on
a swivel. Like, where? Yeah. And I remember she started walking down from another entrance that I didn't even know existed for this place. She starts walking down and we're all like, oh, snap, it's Oprah, right? And we're all like, and they're like, she has to do the red carpet. So she does it and she's doing press and she's talking. And then she kind of gets like a little bit further down and like, all right, now y'all can go. So I'm like one of the first people to go. And I don't know how to take real pictures. So if you look at these pictures, I'm just doing a goofy thing in my face. Like I don't know what I'm doing.
A big fat cheese. It's like middle school and it's picture day.
Yes. Except I'm 37 now. I still don't know how to take pictures, right? So
I remember. Oprah has a thing about that. Did you not read her magazine? She tells you how to take pictures.
No, I did not read. I'll be honest, Oprah, never read your magazine. Big fan of your work as a whole.
You got to put your tongue behind the back of your front teeth.
Okay. You know who I took my advice from? Tyra Banks.
Oh.
I learned how to smize.
She's a professional. She's a professional.
Yeah, I remember America's Top Model and talking about smizing.
Smizing.
Yeah, what do you do? I forgot, but I remember at the time.
Yeah.
So I was trying to do that. Anyway, they're taking the pictures and they're like, all right, once you take your picture, keep it moving. Don't stop.
Yeah.
But like, I took my picture, but Oprah was like in my way. Not in my way, but like, you know what I mean? I had to pass her. And somewhere I saw it online, there's a YouTube video of me clearly going very slow. Past Oprah to just kind of like
shuffling.
I'm like, where am I supposed to? There's only one place for me to go. And I'm like, where do I? I forgot how to walk. And I'm just like being around Oprah. And I'm like, I'm like
absorbing her energy.
Oh, 100%. I'm trying to breathe in deeper than I'm normally breathing. I'm like,
because she's off-gassing ions and elect part of her is coming off of her all the time, and you can get some of it.
All of that,
and you'll glow in the dark when you just go to sleep at night.
Yes, I was like, I know I'll be better person just being around. So I'm somewhere. There's a video. I'm walking very slow, and I'm walking past, and I finally get to the end, and then we go inside, and they show the first episode. Oprah does a big speech about it, and they show the first episode, but she leaves.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, dang, I'm not going to meet Oprah. Yeah, I was like, that's it. She probably got in the helicopter and flew away.
She can fly by herself. She didn't even need the helicopter.
That's true. I didn't even factor that in, the magical part. So that happens. And then they're like, party on the rooftop. We go on the rooftop, and all of a sudden there's like a buzz because Oprah's still here. She didn't leave.
Ooh, she went to the bar.
She went to the bar.
She went right up. That's my girl. That's what I would do. I would go right to the bar. I just finished my speech and or my comedy set.
Yeah.
Run to the bar.
What's your drink of choice?
I just drink vodka now because I'm old.
Okay.
What did you drink?
I'll get to it. I'll tell you.
Okay. It's going to happen.
So everybody's making a fuss. Oprah's on the roof. Everybody's making a fuss. Other people have their managers, agents, or whatever to like introduce them to Oprah, right? Like, hey, Oprah, this is my client, da da da. And she's like, oh, how are you doing? I don't have any of that. So I'm like, I just have to
go
get
up
close to her.
Yeah.
So I remember I started walking to her And you think she's just up there being Oprah. And then you realize quickly, Oprah's a part of a machine. And she has bodyguards. Yeah. And they don't like when people just walk up to her.
Oh.
So there was a dude who hit me with the strongest hand I've ever felt in my life right here. He's like, where are you going? Oh. And I was like, oh, I'm part of the show. Behind him, she sees me.
Yeah.
And she goes, hi, David Perdue. Oh. And I go, my brain goes, get the fuck out of here. Like, get out of here, right? And I go, instinctively go, hi, I'm David Perdue. Because I don't think that you're supposed to know who I am. And she was like, I was like, you know me? She said, of course I know you. And because this is why I knew it. She said, you're nothing like that senator.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, you came name. With a joke.
Well, she also probably saw, she was like,
exactly. We got to check this out.
Who hired David Perdue for my show?
Listen, y'all. Do you know what this network's about?
Yeah.
Like, the message in the state.
I always forget that there's a David Perdue, Republican senator, white guy. Yeah,
I was just trying to Google to find your premier picks and literally everything.
It's all him.
Even typing in Love Is Own Network. Yeah. Just like, it was just like Senator David Perdue.
Yeah, they don't want you to forget about him.
That guy.
Yeah. So anyway, I meet her, and here's the talk about manifestation. I knew I was going to meet her.
Oh, you did.
10 years before this happened.
Okay.
I'll never forget. It was one of her last season of her show. I'm at Morehouse. I'm talking to my mom, and I think we're watching Oprah. And Oprah said something, and I go, I bet she reads this particular author. And I told my mom, I said, when I meet her, I'm going to ask her this.
Okay. So you already knew what you were going to say.
100%.
Okay.
So I go, I never forgot. I said, Ms. Winfrey, I actually manifested this moment. And her eyes were like, okay. And I go, I said, 10 years ago, I saw you talking on your show. And I said, if I ever met you, I would ask you, do you read Howard Thurman? And she goes, I do. And I go, what's your favorite book?
Oh.
And she's like, and I said, can I guess? And then she said, sure. And I said, Search for Common Ground. She was like, that is.
Oh.
And then I just remember watching people around go, who is this dude? And why is Oprah paying attention to this dude, right? And me and her, for a quick second, just have a conversation about this author who is like, to synthesize, Howard Thurman is essentially like Martin Luther King's mentor.
Okay.
Even though they only met like once, he's like the person who Martin Luther King like pretty much idolized. Like
a lot of his writing books, Martin Luther King was reading
them. Yes, yes. So anyway, we talk about that. And then I'll never forget, there was to speak to the drinks, there was a lady walking around handing out tequila.
Oh my, yes.
And she comes up to Oprah, she goes, tequila? And Oprah was like, no. And my first thought was like, you think Oprah's just drinking general admission tequila? Get out of her face, right? I was like, I'll take it. And then someone of her people like hands her a tequila.
One.
It's the same tequila, but it's just like.
She can't just be drinking drinks off trays.
No.
Oh, so people want to probably put a roofie in there and see her act a fool.
Exactly. But apparently she's a big tequila drinker. Like her, at all her premiere parties, apparently it's like tequila.
I'll drink tequila. I'll drink anything. I'm for fun at a party and I never get too drunk.
Yeah. It was great. So that was me meeting Oprah. And I remember there was other people up there. Who I don't remember now, but I just remember, like, I immediately called my mom.
Oh, my gosh.
And but then I realized, oh, I'm, like, they're asleep because it's late at night, so they're asleep.
It's worth it to be.
Yeah,
to be woken up for that.
Yeah, well, she didn't pick up.
No.
No, I did call her, but she didn't pick up. I remember I texted my dad, and then he's in a dad fashion, he's so proud of me. He was like, I met Oprah. And he was like, no, son, Oprah met you. And I was like, get out of here, man. Cheesy, fun-loving dad. This is
That's really sweet.
Yeah, so that was me meeting Oprah. And I stole a pillow from, I stole a pillow from the party. They had Oprah Network pillows. And I'm like, just going to throw these out. And so me and like the other cast who weren't the famous people, we just like stole pillows.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's my mom's favorite pillow. I gave it to my mom.
Well, I hope she doesn't hear about that.
Oprah, you know I stole that pillow.
You don't think they take them up and they put them out at the next party?
Not at all.
No, not Oprah.
I had a meeting at Paradigm once, the writing agency, and I joked about because they gave me a coffee in one of their mugs, and I was just like, well, I need y'all to leave the room before I do because I want to take this mug to prove people I was here. Yeah. And then the guy just looked at me and goes, you know you can just have it, right? Yeah. And I was like, ugh, I feel I'm so poor.
Yeah.
Because that guy's just like, you know that means nothing.
Right.
Like, honestly, take anything in this room.
They're like, please get rid of it. We need to update.
Shit.
Yeah. I feel like when produce like TV and film production companies come through, they're just burning money alive. Oh. Just in big cans of burning money.
Absolutely.
Everything is.
I wish I would have took more stuff from on set. because they took stuff from me. They still have a pair of shoes of mine.
Oh, seriously?
Because I wear size 14, so like they didn't just have those ready. So I kind of had to bring my own shoes. And I remember I had a pair of like all white Adidas, like the originals. Uh-huh. And I had to wear those for scenes. And then one day I had to switch shoes. And then I don't know what happened to my shoes.
Yeah.
And so to this day, Oprah, you owe me $79.99.
How much was that pillow? Probably $10.99.
So you owe me $69.99, Oprah Winfrey. I would like that in small bills, please.
Small bills.
Yes.
Just make it rain.
Yeah, just make it rain. Which I don't know how to do.
Oh, have you tried?
Oh, you're going to get all the good stories out of me.
Have you been to a... Okay, first of all, I want to point out that when we first met, and this might be wrong, but I thought you told me that you met Damon Sumner when you guys were going to preacher school.
We were both in the same church.
You were at the same church, yes. But you were not heading to be a priest.
No, all my friends were going to seminary.
Seminary, yeah. That's what it's called. It's
preacher school. I was like, I think we're saying.
Yeah. Seminary sounds a little bit too close, like a dirty word.
I guess so, yeah.
I was just waiting for you to say priest school.
Yeah, no, we weren't going in there. No, me and Damon met at the same church. Yeah. And
okay, so.
But all my friends.
I memorized this wrong. I've told it's all kind of everyone I meet, I tell them that's what you
were
into. So sorry.
Very funnily knows nothing about religion. Who's the guy that we had on that has like the famous.
Andrew Stanley.
Andrew Stanley. Yeah, his dad is like
yeah, big
royalty. My grandparents watch his grandparents on TV.
I had a lot of questions because I don't know anything about religion.
Asking him all these questions. He's so nice. And she gave me a heads up. She was just like, Joel. He's so religious, blah, blah. And he came on, I was like...
He's lovely.
I would not have known anything about him being religious had you not canceled me. Like, no, what's up with God?
No, he was lovely and he was very funny.
Yes, his family is like royalty. Like, literally, his rest of his soul, his granddad still sends my mom, like, weekly, like, you know what I mean? Like, from the desk of his granddad, and their parents still get, like...
Wow.
Because they got him for years.
It's like a newsletter.
Yeah, newsletter.
But for reals. Like for reals. In the letterbox.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
Not in the inbox box.
Right. But no, me and Damon did not meet in preacher school. It was at church.
It was at church. Yes. Okay, I've got to rewrite that because it's been in there for 8 years in my brain like that. And then, so let's suggest you might be a little bit religious.
Yeah, I went to, so I'll tell the story. My dad found Jesus before I was born. And then he was like, and he's going to be your only friend. So he sent me to Christian schools my whole life, kindergarten.
What's Christian school mean in the South? Because in the North, it means Catholic.
Okay, so Christian school, I did research. Christian schools popped up very conveniently right after integration.
Oh.
And they all of a sudden, these small Southern places had these Christian schools that popped up right after integration. Mm. And
your dad didn't want you to go to school with the white kids, huh?
No, but that's exactly.
I know what you're talking about.
I don't know if that's what he wanted, but that's what ended up happening.
I don't blame him.
For a while. So, yeah, I went to these schools, and they weren't like, I'll say private, but when people think private school, they think like really nice.
They're slapped together with no funding, probably.
Zero funding. And also, it didn't...
Not a trust fund between them. How are you going to...
Not at all.
How are you going to build an empire without a trust fund?
They didn't have a trust... There were no funds. And you didn't require anything to teach there. Like, anybody can teach there right now.
You don't have to have any accreditation.
Zero accreditation.
Yes. Because it's loosey-goosey in Los Estados Unidos.
As long as you believe in Jesus...
States' rights. Yes. Everyone can teach their kids the way they want to. And Georgia's like, listen, we don't really need teaching.
As long as you believed in Jesus and George Bush, you could teach you there. Good. You could teach there. And so those were my teachers from kindergarten.
Wait, it was till, okay.
Yeah,
till nope, and they possibly did not know what they were teaching.
100% so didn't know.
Is George Bush and Jesus, like where they had two pictures on the wall. It was like Catholics in Boston, yes. Where it's Jesus and John F. Kennedy.
They would show a picture of Jesus, but I don't think they were like, George Bush, we can't let you see him. Directly. He's too holy.
It's too strong.
He's too holy.
His energy is too strong.
No, they used to... I remember the 2000 election. I'll never forget. They let us out of school early specifically so our parents could go vote for George Bush. And my mom was like, yeah, I don't think that's happening. There was always a big debrief when
they're
I
like,
came
who
home.
Who you voting for? You did can't leave then. You
yeah, right? Leave. Like I was the only kid stuck in school after that.
Did they have to undo your programming?
Yeah, so I would come home and my parents would go, what'd you learn? And I would say, and they go, okay, this part is true. Mm-hmm. These things, let's talk about it. Do these sound true? And I'm like, I don't think so. And like, all right, you're getting it. So they did a lot of like debriefing, which was very helpful. But I always tell people like going to those schools made it very easy for me as an adult to like talk to anybody.
Tell me why.
Because I...
Did you guys just chat in class and you got a PhD in chatting?
Well, no. It's just like, these are people who now people would never, like, talk to. In a sense of, like, about any... You know what I mean? Like, it's a difficult conversation. They only view things one way. And I'm like, yeah, I also play kickball with these kids. And, like, we grew up together.
So they're zealots.
Oh, 100%. I know a kid
so you can talk to a zealot.
I know a kid who had if I remember correctly, he had a full ride to Harvard and turned it down because he said God told him to be a firefighter. And I was like, I think you're talking to a different guy. I think my guy would have told me to go to Harvard. I think that makes more sense. Right. But like, that's the type of, anyway, those people were the only friends I could have. Because I wasn't, nobody in my neighborhood played with me because I didn't go to the schools with them. So they always thought I was, and I was also playing other sports. So I just wasn't like around the neighborhood kids enough. Mm-hmm. So like, these were the only kids that I kind of knew.
How many people were in your class? It sounds like they're tiny, little rooms, piecemeal together. Did you have computers?
We had, I don't think I saw a computer till like 9th or 10th grade. It was like Mavis Beacon.
How old are you?
I'm 37. So that kind of makes sense.
Because I'm 47 and I saw computers in the 5th grade.
Well, nope. I think I was like 9th, 10th grade before we got to go to a computer lab. And that was like Mavis Beacon only. Anything else you couldn't.
What's a Mavis Beacon?
The typing.
Program?
Program, yeah. It was like a black lady and she was like, all right, we're going to type. Yeah. And you had to type real fast.
Oh, her name is Mavis.
Yeah, her name was Mavis. Mavis
I thought Beacon. That was a computer's name. Nope. She sounds charming.
She was very charming. She had a power suit and she would just judge how fast words you could type per minute.
Nice.
And I was never over, I think, 38. So I was like, I'm not going to be a stenographer or any kind of real job with typing, but I can type enough.
Right. You have to be able to type to function in our culture.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it was only, I think I graduated with 11 people.
So 11 people. So how did you even play sports?
Basketball I played because it was a Christian school. So it was like kindergarten through 12. So like, there were like 7th graders on my high school.
My gosh. So you weren't playing other schools.
Yeah, we were playing other schools who had similar.
Were you getting murdered?
So if the schools kind of had similar,
there's that many Christian schools.
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
Yes. But then there were some that were like above us who like had like real athletes. And yeah, we would get I remember playing a basketball game. We lost by like 100 points. And I remember at early on, I was like, why are we here? These kids are dunking on us. Like, we're going to get in a fight. Because I can't, you can beat me at basketball. I'm not going to let you just beat me up too. Like, I'm going to have to, you're going to get to pick one. You're going to get beat up or they're going to beat me at basketball. But I'm not going to let you do both. So.
Did you guys learn about evolution and how some people are going to be better at basketball?
Definitely not. That was the devil's word. No, that's good that you brought it up because I don't think we were allowed to say that in school. I think we were sent to the principal's office if you said the word evolution.
E is the F word.
Yeah, E is the F word for sure. It was a lot of stuff we didn't learn. Learn or couldn't talk
Can
about.
Can you talk about cells? Did you do biology?
I don't remember us doing biology.
Did you do physics?
Oh, that's the stuff with the math? Yeah, they tried.
Okay. So there's a generation of people now who aren't educated. Yeah. You seem very educated.
Boy, it's the glasses doing a lot of work.
You do a lot of reading.
I do enough reading.
You went to college.
I did go to college. Yeah. But I was a sociology major. So it's like, you really just have to know how to say stuff the right way. To get good grades.
You did it. So they must be good at reading, all those people. Because that's the only thing they learned is how to read.
Yeah, I can read
enough. Reading the Bible's hard. And do you have to read the Bible in there?
I did have to read the Bible. But ironically enough, one of the classes I failed when I was in school was Bible.
Okay.
And I never forget, I brought home an F in Bible. And my dad was like, this is the only class we're actually paying for you to have. How do you fail this? And I was like, I don't know. And I remember the dude who failed me. He believed in his heart that God was calling me to be a preacher. And so he failed me, and he was just like, I just don't understand. Like, God's calling you to be a preacher. And I was like, you should tell God I should get a better grade. This is a sign that I should be doing this.
Yeah, God should tell you to give me a better grade so I can meet your expectation of me.
And I couldn't do it.
Lordy. That's hard L.
Southern Bell coming out. Lord have mercy.
Oh, gosh. I'm glad you made it out and I would agree. There's a bunch of comedians in Atlanta that went to Christian school.
Oh, I can spot us out too.
Can you tell me what's the telltale?
When I first met Nathan Owens, the first thing I said to him was, you went to Christian school, didn't you? Before I said hello, I was like, you went to Christian school, didn't you? He's like, how'd you know? There's a certain especially when you're first starting, there's a certain like, what's going on? Is this
it's
the
big
world?
Doe eyes.
Yeah, it's just like, what's going on? And by the time I met her, I had already went to college. And so I also was like kind of detached from that, like that Christian school world, but I could look back. I was always different. So like I would always hang out with people outside of school.
Uh-huh.
And everybody in school was like, you're hanging out with those
heathens.
Yeah.
They're going to make you go to the devil.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are you afraid of the devil?
Everybody, listen, well, I'll say that I'm not afraid of the devil.
Where is he? When you were little, where was the devil?
Oh, he was under your feet.
Was it under the bed or in the closet?
No. He had his own place under wherever your feet were. They were under there.
He's underground.
Devil, is he walking like your feet are coming down to the earth and then his feet are coming up to the earth's surface and he's walking underneath you? And then when you look back in the
sand. This is how she talked to Andrew Stanley.
When you look back in the sand, when there was only one pair of footprints,
the other
I was carrying you. Yeah, and the devil was pushing me up.
Was pushing me. Ironically, I remember I told my sister when she was very little that red clay was a sign of the devil.
That's literally everywhere in the South.
Did she
lose her mind?
She was just like, she's like, you don't know how tormented I was by it. She wouldn't go outside. For
oh
the longest,
gosh.
She wouldn't go outside.
She could have gotten
like,
depression
the
for lack
devil.
Of sunshine.
Yeah, I was not the best older brother. I told her
Did
that.
Did you tease her so much? How much younger was
she? She's 6 years younger than me.
Oh.
Yeah, she once cut off her eyebrows because I made fun that she said she had a unibrow.
Oh,
and I remember she came back and like most of them were gone. And she goes, look. And I was like, oh, I'm in trouble. I was like, that's my best friend now. But I was not a good older brother.
Were you going through a teenage spell?
No,
are you really? Because you're so nice.
I was a terrible person.
Are you a terrible person in the inside and you're just nice like on the outside?
So, all right. Full disclosure. When my brother comes around comedians and the way you guys talk about me, my brother goes, who are they talking about? They're like, I don't know this man.
Is that your work persona?
No, I think so.
You save it for the people you love the most.
So here's the thing. That's funny. No, I think I went through like a transformation where I realized I was not a good person.
Okay.
And I didn't want people to like, I was not just like mischievous. Like I was like angry.
Oh.
You know what I mean? I was like, I used to hit my brother. It wasn't good.
Did you have a chip on your shoulder?
No, I think I had a chip in my brain. Something was like wrong with me.
Do you have testosterone like too much or something?
I think boys need like an outlet and they need people to like listen to them.
Playing basketball with seventh graders wasn't enough for
Or just like they need the language to like talk through frustrations and I didn't have that.
Oh,
so I just would like fight my brother and he couldn't fight back. And I remember the thing that changed is like I remember one time I like went to hit him and he was like, or not even went to hit him. I think I went to like grab something. And he flinched. And I remember thinking like, oh, I'm not good.
You're a bully.
And I was probably like 17, 18 like when this happened. So this was like, you know, many years ago. But I remember like, oh, I don't want to be that. Like, he's afraid of me.
Yeah.
And then
how
I
much younger is he?
3 years younger than me.
Is he little too?
No. This is talking about God. God loves to balance stuff out. I go to college and I don't come home often. Uh-huh. And I remember I came home one time. My brother was in high school. He started playing sports. I noticed he was working. He started to get bigger.
Oh.
And so I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. I don't care about you lifting weights and doing that stuff. So we go play basketball. I never hear one day we're playing basketball. And I tried to, like, big brother him and, like, foul him hard. And nothing happened. And then one time I, like, wanted to hurt him because I was like, he's not respecting me. So I, like, went to hit him. And I'll never forget I hit him and he looked at me like, he started laughing. He was like, ha, 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 ha. And I was like, what? And so I was like, now I have to really hit him. And I'll never forget, I went to hit him.
You're trying to be an alpha.
This is when the day me and my brother became best friends. I went to hit him and I don't know what he did, but he like dodged it and then also grabbed my arm and made me choke myself with myself. Like I was choking myself. And then he goes, are you done?
Yeah.
And I was like, and this is when I had to go psychological. I go, what are you doing? Mom wouldn't want to see us like this. This is what I said. I was like, he can beat me up.
You're like, shit, what do I do? What about mom?
Don't do this.
All the time.
Don't upset the order.
You beat him up. And you're just like, mom would hate.
I'm so lucky
mom
my brother's the sweetest human being.
Like he's got a good
alive,
head on his shoulders.
But he had every right to like murder me.
Oh yeah. Have you been crying and sad and start flinching when you're around him?
Yeah, I was terrible to him.
And there's you're so nice backstage, all the comedy things. You're always so like a nice ear and someone to talk to you're generous with your time and your wisdom. And so it's interesting to me that the Bible doesn't have anything that helps people talk about their feelings. Did you try Oprah? Because she's really good at that.
She's very good at that, but she didn't have
maybe
the time for me.
Change her religion.
Yeah, I mean, I think all black people are kind of like minor in Oprah, the religion of Oprah. Like we're all kind of like she's a deity in a way. So I feel like there's like obviously Jesus.
She's transcended. But then
there's like an Oprah.
How do you get from poverty in Mississippi to Oprah?
Determination.
Your private plane to your Hawaiian island.
Hard work, determination.
And
probably other things that
touching
we don't want to mention.
Emotional cord, helping authentic, and then helping people process their
I will say that.
And move forward in health and light.
Truly. Like, I think her, so the book, the dude I was talking about who me and her bonded over, reading that dude really kind of changed. A couple things changed me. That, reading that dude, going to college.
Yeah, college.
And then having, like, loss.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? Like, loss, like, makes you go, oh, okay, I don't want to be this, and I want to be better.
And it was the loss of the power you had over your siblings, right?
That's
it,
all type of loss. That included.
Your machismo.
Yeah, I was just like, who? Like,
your alpha dog energy.
Who is this for? And, but I also, my dad would tell me this. He was like, oh, yeah, you got that from me.
The alpha dog energy?
My dad was an athlete and like just super competitive and like quiet.
Did Jesus help him get, when he found Jesus?
He tells this story about how like he found Jesus.
Is that how you say it? Am I saying it right?
Jesus?
You found Jesus? Or you what? How's the transition?
Some people find him. He comes to people. I don't know. As long as if you're out there.
Accept? Is that?
Accept Jesus. I think it all works. I think it all works, Amy. Hopefully there's no policing of the language of how one experiences Jesus.
Oh yeah, no, I'm just asking like for your vernacular.
Oh no, I think it's all the same.
Okay.
I'm not a scholar by any means though. I will say that. I'm not a Jesus scholar. I know some things.
Yeah, take off your glasses for the second half of the podcast. I mean, see how she responds.
I feel like to the next.
And she's like, "What's up, you little nerd?" I could beat you up too.
Right.
Put you in a headlock.
Yeah, like,
I think your necklaces lend yourself to like guru energy.
So these are all
tell me about your jewelry.
All right. I buy jewelry from people who I think are cool and they happen
to be.
So the
energy will transcend into you?
So I'm not even, I hate to break it to people. Like I know what these mean to people. Like I know what like this is
they
a.
Have, oh, they have meaning?
This is so a rose quartz.
So the gold is a rose gold.
No, this is, I don't know. This is like copper or something.
Okay,
like
there's, they're long. They're probably 24 inch, 22 inch chains.
But these are like, you can get these at a hardware store. The chains are not the thing.
And then
but
there's like, medallions with stones in them.
Yeah, so this is my birthstone. This is an amethyst.
Okay, so it's a dark purple.
Yep, and then this is a rose quartz, which symbolizes
pink.
Like love.
You know, like manly men wear.
Yeah, so, but the thing is, I never liked chains, but I wanted to wear something around my neck.
Uh-huh.
And so.
A little razzle dazzle.
A little razzle dazzle.
My son is wearing a necklace.
Yeah, what kind? What's he?
It's tight, like plutonium. That's not right. It's titanium.
Platinum.
Oh, is that?
Platinum? No, it's like some sort of like the thing they make the Kevlar vest out of.
Oh.
Something.
Okay.
No, that's not right. It's just some really strong metal. I'm like, that if it gets stuck, it's gonna kill
Is it
you.
Long or is it like
it's here?
Okay.
And it's silver colored.
That's cool. I think having for me, I just liked it. So people see and they think like, oh, like I'm a crystal dude. And like I know the stuff.
A crystal dude.
That exists. And I'm not here to knock if you're a crystal. I just like the way they look.
That makes you a crystal dude.
I like the way they look.
All you gotta do is just tell people it's got personal meaning to you and then
it's a conversation
people
starter.
It can be.
People will respect that.
Do you ever have to put them out in a moonlight so they can recharge?
I would be lying to you. No, here's the thing. Amy, I'd be lying to you if I said I haven't done that. I'd be lying to you. I've done it. Because I'm like, if you're going to wear it, right? Like,
Just charge it.
I'm a yes anding, I think, when it comes to a lot of religion.
Put your phone in the charger and then put your crystals out in the moonlight.
Up.
Like, a full moon.
Yes, a full moon, for sure. No, I've definitely driven home and looked up. I was like, got to put the necklaces out tonight. I've done that. I've done that and I'll be lying. I'm here to admit, I'd be lying if I said I didn't do that. I've definitely done that.
Have you found better luck come to your life?
I always forget that I did it, so I don't record the luck. I'm just going, just another day.
Oh, it's just another day.
Just another day.
So you can't track it.
No, but I don't think, I'm not here to track it. I'm just here to.
Let's turn it into science. Well, you probably didn't get taught how to do a data collection or a control. And then
sociology should have taught me that.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And it didn't.
Oh, I want you to talk about the college you went to.
Okay.
And you told me a story about, like, I asked if you'd ever performed there. And you said you don't want to because you saw a famous person get keys.
Keyed, yeah.
Yes. And this is, talk about this because I didn't know this was an option if you're doing poorly.
So This is black crowds. Love you guys. I'm one of you sometimes.
You went to Morehouse.
I went to Morehouse, which is an historically black college.
Yeah.
And so I remember my freshman year, if you're an entertainer, especially a black entertainer, you go to HBCUs before you blow up because that lets you know whether or not you're good.
Oh, and fascinating.
And they always come through Atlanta because no one who goes to these schools is from here. So you essentially take that music, whatever the thing that you like, and you go and you share it. So it's a quick way to like blow up. So when I was there, my freshman year, Chris Brown came to perform, and this is before he beat up anybody. This was like 16-year-old baby just Chris
dancing
Brown.
Dancing and singing.
Dancing, singing. Next Michael Jackson. We love this guy. He's performing at my college, and I don't remember what happened. I think he fell a little bit, and we were not here for it. We were like, boo, 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 boo. And then we...
My armpits are sweating for him
we
right now.
Took our... This is the thing, if you go to like... a few, especially in the 90s black comedy clubs, if you bomb, the host would say, don't boo, key them.
Okay.
Like, take your keys and shake your keys.
When people had keys.
Yeah, back when people, now the everybody's
fob,
got the,
fob.
Yeah, the fob. It's just like, womp, womp,
so
womp,
much
womp.
More aggressive because a room full of key jingling.
Buddy. Can you imagine?
Oh, I'm buddy. Intimidated right now.
Yeah. Buddy, I've seen it. I've had it happen to me, and when I was 19, I did it to Chris Brown. I did it to Chris Brown,
dude.
And I remember, and we all, it was like a small stadium full of just angry 18 and 19-year-olds keying this child.
Oh,
he's only 16, 17 maybe at the time.
That's gotta be rough.
Just keying this child. So I do a bit about it. I say, like, every time I see him on the news being a terrible person, I'm like,
you know what happened?
I might have had something to do with
that. This is his origin
story.
Yeah, no. If we were doing some sort of Marvel thing.
Yes, this is it.
Okay, now we know what happened, why he broke and turned into being aggressive.
Yes.
And he didn't have a younger brother that put him in a headlock.
Yeah, so every story I hear about Chris Brown, it's just like, we didn't help.
That's walking through fire. Like, there's like having a bad set. And then there's people being actively hating you with their car keys.
I remember telling that story about getting keyed and it bombed, and then a dude keyed me. Which was like, that's poetic. Like, I couldn't even be mad. I was like, I gave you the weapon to kill me with.
Yeah.
And you did it.
Did you love going to a historically black college?
University. It was the best decision I ever made.
I went to a small women's college,
yeah,
and I loved it. And I feel like that's the same energy. It's like we're going to be together and we're going to do this.
You felt cared for, right?
I felt cared for.
I think, especially for black men, it's like you don't have those spaces where you feel cared for. And so when I was there, it was never a time where I felt like no one cared.
Unless you're on stage.
Unless you didn't go to the school and you were paid to be there and you couldn't dance the way we wanted you to dance. Then we didn't care about you. But yeah, you felt cared for. It was like a community. Like, I'm still very tight with people who I'm like was 18 years old and sharing meal cards with. Like I've been in weddings with these people. I'm godparents to these people's kids.
It's close. It's a bonding.
It's you. Especially you're bonding when you're like dead broke too. Like you have nothing.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, oh, you have bread. You have peanut butter. I have jelly. Guess what we got? A meal. Like it's powerful. And then where it is, Morehouse is like in the middle of the hood. Especially when I was there.
Uh-huh.
Like now it's like starting to become like gentrified a little bit.
Is it all male too?
Yeah, it's all male. But Spelman was right there, mm-hmm, and which is all women, which like made it okay. And then Clark Atlanta was there as well. And I think there was like for every one dude, it was like 16 women.
Okay.
So like that was another thing too that I always tell people. Like we were like, you went to all man schools. Like the ratio of between the three schools, and we're all like within rocks of each other.
Yeah.
I think it was like 20-1.
Of all the women's colleges.
Oh, yeah. So it was like, and not just like any 20. Let me be very clear. I want to look into the camera and tell people this. These are some of the most amazing, beautiful women I've ever seen in my life. Like when I was 20, I mean, I was 18. I remember my dad dropped me off because he went to Clark Atlanta. That's where he met my mom.
Okay.
And he knew I was kind of sheltered going to these Christian schools. And I never, he dropped me off.
The middle of Atlanta, a huge city.
Just like.
Hot ladies left and right.
And he'd been there. Like he'd gone to college at Clark. He was one of, at the time, probably 13, 14. And then he goes, pace yourself. Right?
You're going to be drowning in boobies.
Not even that. He just was like, and then he goes, you've never seen anything like this. He's like, keep your composure. Don't be weird. Because he knew I never.
You're going to walk around like a comedian that went to Christian school.
Big
eyes.
Big dough eyes. I think God, I was so like corny and didn't know anything because I would have lost my, like I was such a shy dude that like none of that could affect. I was always like, oh, okay, like, but also I was like, I see it though. You know what I mean? But I also was like, I didn't have the like the gumption to talk to women the way I do
it's
now.
It's gonna be terrifying.
Well, not they're also going to class in like they're going like as models. Like they're not going to class in sweatpants. They're like, no, I'm
turning out.
Yeah, and I'm like, this looks like TV. This looks like TV. And everywhere you get it, they're everywhere. And so it was That's again awesome. Best time of my life.
I'm glad. Did you? So was there fun traditions that were specific? Did you guys like do step?
So here's how it works. All right, there are fraternities that I was not a part of, mm-hmm. mainly because Morehouse in and of itself is its own fraternity. There's only like 3,000 people that go to that school. Uh-huh.
So like if mine had 600 women.
Oh, okay. Small schools. We out here. So yeah, no, there's only like 3,000. So it didn't make sense to like join a frat because people mm-hmm. look at Morehouse as its own frat. Yeah. So I was like,
everyone's already friends.
Yeah, and I also didn't have the grades or money for it. That's also, those are probably more important.
Yeah, they're expensive. Things.
They're very expensive. But my freshman year, your dorm would have like a stroll team or a step team. I didn't do the step team.
A stroll team?
Which is, you step, stroll is like people not committed to the step team, but you want to learn like one move.
Uh-huh.
So I did that.
Okay.
Like I was a part of, or at least I knew the stroll. I don't think I was a part of the team, but I like knew the stroll.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would like support people who did the step team stuff. So, like, the cool stuff that you see, like, I didn't do that
uh-huh.
because I was never cool in college. Not one day in my life was I cool in college. I was cool with the kids who were cool, but I was never, like, he's cool. I was just around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so,
the classic comedian story.
100%. I was good friends with the cool people, and they were like, he's cool enough to be around. Yeah, but I did stroll, which is like, again, you kind of step in, but you're not doing all the intricate stuff.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to think. We have, like, a school song.
Tufts has a step team that just came out, and it's all different kinds of people from all over different countries. How do you feel about that?
I know a lot of people, black people, will gatekeep that, and I'm not mad at gatekeeping it because it is very special. It's like a very special thing that, like, it's all right.
It's amazing. They had a competition at our college.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, my head exploded.
It's intense.
It was amazing.
Stepping is very intense. Like, it's like another job these students had when I was there. I feel like if you're doing it and you're not like giving, it's weird. Like, I because I'm not in it, I can't say it's okay for people to do because I didn't do it that way. But I will say it does look weird when you're like, wait, what are you? And why are you doing it? And when I say what do you mean, like, you're not one of the Divine Nine, which is like the nine sororities and fraternities. Like, if you're not one of them, it looks weird because we know where you got it from. But, like, who gave it to you?
Mm.
Or did you take it? You know what I mean?
I didn't realize that step originated in the fraternities and the sororities.
I feel like it did. I don't want to lie to you, Amy,
okay?
But I'm pretty sure.
And then, and then now that like Alabama, all these like sororities and stuff are doing all these dances on TikTok.
Yeah.
Is that
culture? So those look scary when they about, when they like open the door and then they're doing these like I'm like I this is its own thing. This doesn't feel like it's inspired by anything that happens at HBCU. At least the ones that I've seen.
Yeah,
I'm sure there are some out there, but it's
less rhythm.
Yeah.
like no like padding and beating of the stage with your feet.
But I think anybody, I don't know. I think anybody can do. I just like pay homage. Like best example, when I was at Morehouse, we had a white dude that went to Morehouse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, do tell, Dish, because we had a boy that went to our college.
Yeah,
because his mom was a professor there. And he got all the classes he needed. He couldn't legally get a diploma.
Sure.
But he got he did computers and got a great job.
Why not?
And he comes to reunion and we love him.
He's quite great. So we had a...
Russell the Love Muscle.
So, all right. Of course he has a nickname, Russell the Love Muscle.
We teased him a lot.
What a fun guy.
He was fun.
Yeah, he's like, what's up with your little penis there, Russell? He's like, what? I just came to class.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great. He comes to my shows when I travel.
Oh, yeah. All right.
He's wonderful.
So, all right.
Tell us about this white guy.
So I want to preface this by saying, I see a lot of people, especially like since the Super Bowl, and this conversation always comes up about like a black national anthem or like historically black colleges. And people will say stuff like, why do they have these? This is divisive. You know, and I'm like, if you just pay attention, like, we didn't start these because we wanted to. We started because we had to. Like, we weren't allowed.
Yeah.
So,
until recently.
Recently. So, with the white guy at HBCU, there was never a problem with him. This dude was super cool. He looked like Adam Levine.
Oh, he's hot.
Yeah, he looked like Adam Levine. He was from, like, I think somewhere in the Midwest, like Missouri, maybe. And he was also brilliant. So much so that he ended up being the valedictorian.
Oh my God.
And that was, that's where I was like, I think we've gone too far. Here's the thing about him. On TV, when they were interviewing him, he had perfect corporate America voice. Just like, yes, I'm so happy. I understand I'm at Morehouse College, a prestigious institution, da da da. But when he, as soon as that microphone turned off, he was one of us. And it was a, I've never seen a white dude code switch. But we knew, like, that's really who he was. Like, he grew up around black people.
In Missouri.
I think, okay. From my understanding, I don't remember. I think, like, he was, like, adopted by a black family. Aww. And a black, and, like, he was just, like, so I was like, oh, he's doing the thing they teach us to do. But it looks weird when he does it. And it was amazing. And so people were, like, so mad that this white dude was, you know, the valedictorian. But at the same time, it's like, he did the work.
Yeah. There must not be any language around the diplomas that he could get one.
No, I don't think so. I think that, like, the only language I think might be about, like, having women in the college. And even that might be changing. But, like, I think that I feel like if you get the right, you know, recommendation. Also, I don't think they know who we are when we pull up. Because on my application, I told them I was fourth in my class. And I think that's why I got
out of 11.
I didn't tell them I was 11. I just told them that was none of their business. I told them I was 4.
Did you take the SAT?
Yeah, I took the SAT.
How'd you do?
What was it?
A lot of reading.
It was out of
reading.
So. It was out of what, 1600 back then? I think I got like a 1100.
Okay.
My best time. My best one was like 1100. And I think, or maybe like 1050, something like that. Enough. Know. Right? It wasn't
enough
like
to get in college.
Yeah, because again, I'm in Christian school. I don't know anything. Like I don't know anything. So I was so happy to get all those numbers. I was like, wow, I thought I was gonna be like a 6.
I wonder if it's better now because of YouTube. These Christian high school kids can Google things they're missing.
They don't know what to Google. I'm telling you right now, they do not. No one tells them what to Google. You have to, if you're a Christian school kid, you hear my voice, just go experience stuff. Go find that one cousin your mom doesn't like you hanging around and do whatever they want to do on a Saturday. It'll make you a better person.
Go to the planetarium.
Go to the planetarium. Do anything. It doesn't even have to be science or education related. Mm-hmm. Just go do whatever that one cousin that smokes those funny cigarettes, go do whatever they
do.
Yeah,
I was a public school kid that did a lot of drugs. So, and then I'll tell people about like my high school years or like my early 20s.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh my God, Joel. I'm like, what? Everyone does that. They're like, no.
Yeah.
No, they do not.
And no, I'm like, I was straight. Like, I didn't touch alcohol until I was 21 on my 21st birthday. First time I touched alcohol. Mm-hmm. Never did
respect
smoke.
For the law.
Yeah. Or just like afraid of my parents. That was mainly it. But yeah, I didn't do any of that. And then, you know.
Do they drink? Because there's a lot of Christians that don't drink.
I never saw my parents. They never had alcohol in the house.
Yeah. It's like a Baptist energy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my dad's parents like had like a bar. Because they were like swanky Detroit people.
Ooh.
Who had like, you know, oh, we have a party at the bar downstairs. Like they were like that with like the coats and stuff.
Yeah, like big collars.
So he comes from that. Uh-huh. But like he was like, I think he was like, oh, I think our family might have the taste.
Yeah.
And so he was like afraid. But I was like, when I turned 20, I was like, Pop, we have it. I promise you we have it. But I've always drunk in moderation.
Oh, drunk in moderation.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. All right. Real quick, I'm going to ask you a series of questions and find out what kind of nerd you are, if you are indeed a nerd.
I love it.
Okay. Star Wars or Star Trek?
I'm going to go Star Wars.
Okay. Have you watched all the new ones that have come out?
So,
all these.
Here's the thing about
milking
me.
The sheep or whatever it's called when you're just.
No, I haven't seen the new ones. And that's because I hadn't seen any Star Wars anything until maybe like 3 or 4 years ago. So I never
you were
knew.
Late. Was this because of the Christian thing or are you stubborn?
I wasn't even stubborn. I've never been stubborn. I've never been those people like, I don't watch this because you guys watch this. And the Christian thing only really stopped me from watching like The Simpsons.
I thought you were going to say Debbie Does Dallas.
No, it was the Simpsons.
Wait, it's the Simpsons naughty?
Well, it was bad. My dad didn't like it because Bart backtalked Homer, and he was, I'm not giving my kids no ideas.
The Simpsons, when it came out, was very risque and like like against the norm. They broke a lot of taboos.
Yeah,
like
my dad hated that Bart called him Homer. Yeah. Like
he was
just like, oh no, my kid's not watching that.
My parents had me watching Robin Williams, so I didn't know.
There should be a movie or something where like people, for a little bit of time, switch childhoods with other people you know, like a wife swap and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But like just some sort of like go back. I would love to be you and you could be me for like 24 hours.
Oh my gosh. I wonder if I'd survive it.
You'd be fine.
All of this is bullshit.
Yeah. No, you'd be fine.
Did you go have to take you to the hospital if you got sick?
Yeah. No, we weren't. Yeah.
You weren't
No. They were. Yeah.
Did you get vaccines?
Yeah. 100%. Okay. I did. But if, oddly enough, I found out my mom never got the polio vaccine.
She might have been. Young enough, she didn't need it.
No, she got polio.
She got polio?
Yeah.
In Detroit?
My mom's from Atlanta.
Okay.
We joke all the time because I remember one time I was wearing shorts or something, and my brother was like, yo, one of your legs is different from the other. And then we used to run and joke, like, oh, that's the polio leg.
That's the polio leg.
I got a polio leg. So she was like, yeah, I never got the vaccine. And I was like, we can see you got the polio leg.
Oh my gosh.
She's fine.
Hope she's okay.
She's great. Hi, mom.
Okay. Have you ever been to Comic-Con?
No.
Dragon Con.
I have not.
None of that. Have you ever ridden a unicycle?
Unicycle? Oh, no. I played the Super Nintendo game. I think it was, I forgot, but it was all about a unicycle. It was like a unicycle race.
Okay.
Does that count?
No, but that's pretty weird.
You know what I'm talking about, Joel?
I have no clue what that is.
There was, man.
Is it Super Nintendo?
It was a Super Nintendo game, and it was just unicycle races. And I used to play it all the time.
Uniracers.
Uniracers. Yeah, I played that.
Did you play an instrument?
I played the recorder in school.
Oh, yes.
The plastic
flute. Did you have these glasses or glasses and playing the recorder?
Of course.
Did you ever have glasses, play the recorder, and wear a clip-on tie at the same time?
No.
We were going to paint a picture.
No, never the clip-on tie at the same time. I played the piano also for like 2 weeks.
That doesn't count.
It does not count.
Did they buy you a piano for
it? No, they got me lessons, and then my teacher was like, do you practice? And I was like, we don't have a piano. And then she kept getting mad that I didn't practice.
Oh.
And so I was like, well, I don't know what to do. I don't have a piano at home. I'm sorry.
Did you ever wear a clip-on tie?
I'm sure as a kid.
Yeah.
Once, but like also, it's very, I think it's like a thing for like dads to teach their kids, their son.
Can you tie a tie?
So this is some Morehouse stuff. Not only can I tie a tie, I know different. Back in my other day.
Do you know how to do different ties?
I used to. This is how Morehouse, you got to stand out. Like, and everybody's kind of stylish. So like I had a semester, probably a semester, maybe a year, where I was like suit and tie every day.
To school.
To class. Like it was like,
this is
me and my friends were like, you know, we dressed in like success.
I love it.
Yeah. So
I was like, you're like going back in time.
Oh yeah. So briefcases. Like, so we were doing our best. Whatever suit we had, we switch out shirts, we switch out ties or whatever. I learned how to tie different knots, but also I can make a bow tie out of a regular tie.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and I used to wear that, and it would look like a bow tie.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I used to, like, I was a different person, for sure.
Well, this is the outfit. You're wearing the outfit for comedians, which is a hoodie.
Yeah, I'm all about comfort now.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's, yeah. You know, I like it when a man can tie a tie. It's like, you're a real man.
I'm a real man. No, I agree. There's something very like, oh, okay, adult, you know how to do that. I just reached the point, I was like, I actually don't like this at all, and I'm never going to do it again unless they make me.
Harry Potter, did you get into that?
No, I've seen the second one.
Okay.
Never read the books.
No, you're fine. Okay.
I've seen a couple.
Do you have a cape?
I don't have. No cape. Oh, actually, do have a cape.
Ooh.
I have a cape. Thanks to Shauna God Candy, I played a superhero in one of his shorts, and I kept the cape. So I own a cape now.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. I went two Halloweens. I used it two Halloweens ago, and I went as a super spreader.
Oh. That's good.
Very fun.
Have you ever said huzzah?
Definitely not.
No Ren Fair for you?
No, I don't know.
Do you like Disney?
I don't know what any of those words you just said mean.
Ren Fair. Renaissance Fair.
Oh, Ren Fair.
The wenches.
Oh, those seem very cool. Again, I'm not anti. I don't like yucking people's yum.
Yeah.
If you like something, but I've just never. I need people to
you
take
can wear
me those
crystals
things.
There.
I think they'd
right
they be hit.
They'd be in
They're very druidy.
Oh, I'll go. I every time I see friends that have pictures of those places, I'm like, somebody invite me.
We should do when it comes back, we should bring 4th and 10 down there.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I know Nate goes. I know Damon. Yeah. I know Damon. I think Damon has gone before with his kids.
Oh wow. Yeah. Never been.
I've never been.
I wanna go.
I wanna see the jousting and whatever it is. Like, I wanna see all of that.
This is have you ever made your own clothes? But I think turning a tie into a bow tie kind of counts.
Yeah, that counts,
like that.
Right?
Yeah, have you ever done anything else like that?
No.
Did you ever cut your own pocket folds out of fabric that would accent your tie better?
No.
Out of some loose fabric?
No, I've never done that. No.
Okay.
I don't, yeah. I used to want to own like a sewing kit just to like learn how to sew.
Oh.
And I still think that might be something I might do later. I just think it's cool.
Uh-huh.
That you just make clothes.
Yeah.
Like people used to do that. Like now you just, I'm like, I could just make clothes.
Do you like Disney? Are you a Disney guy?
I do like Disney.
Have you been to Disney? Would you get married in Disney? Would you marry a girl who's like, my identify as Minnie?
I probably will end up marrying a weirdo like that. No, I've never been to Disney World Land, any of those places, but I do like Disney movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not wild. Do you love Jeopardy?
Yes.
Are you good at it?
I'm decent. I'm decent at Jeopardy.
Okay, because there's no science questions.
Well, I know enough about everything to be okay at Jeopardy.
Cool.
It's even science.
Did you take science classes at college? You had to.
Yeah, we took science. But I wasn't, I remember the biggest thing I ever had was in biology. I remember definitely it was a group project and I only got a good grade because I got
team effort. Good
group. Yeah, I was not helpful.
Have you had labs when you were in high school?
No. Lab, I think we dissected a frog once.
Uh-huh.
Whatever that means. I don't think they cared how we did it.
Did you use here's some dead frogs and some hammers.
Yeah, we had the little scalpel and stuff like that. It was just, I feel like they knew none of that stuff was real to us. So they didn't care how we did it. No one was really checking for us.
Yeah. Have you ever said this is not canon about something?
No, I'm not. I don't even believe in that.
Okay. Have you ever had a birthday party for a pet?
No, but I did kill my goldfish at my like third birthday party because I thought he wanted cake too.
Oh,
Charlie,
that is so sad.
Did not want cake.
Bless all, poor Charlie.
Yeah.
Do you have a tattoo?
No tattoos.
No tattoos. If you had gone to a fraternity at Morehouse, would you have to get a tattoo?
I might have had to get like branded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alex,
the one I thought about doing, I probably would have had to get branded.
Did you know the hazing is really, it's got to be hard.
It is
to get to live through that hazing.
One of my best friends, I'll never forget, he was pledging our sophomore year. And boy, you need people to help you
get through it.
Yeah. And I was like, his person was like, he's like, yo, can you go to the cafe and get me some like patty melts? And like, I had to like sneak and meet him. And like, yeah, it's just, that's like, we became tighter because of the hazing that he went through.
Yeah, he can bond with you.
Yeah, we all, but he bonded with those guys and bonded with me. So it was just, it all worked.
And then could he get you into the parties?
So if I wanted to go, I'm sure he could. I just didn't go. I was like, I didn't go to any parties for real.
What? Wait, I'm so confused.
In college, me and my friends, we used to go.
That's what college is for.
I know.
And Your dad said to pace yourself, not to derail the train into a ditch.
I hung out with people.
You're wearing a suit in your room and not going out.
I went to like maybe three parties in college.
You went to three?
Like maybe three.
Did you get crazy after college? Did you go wild?
No.
Have you done acid?
Never.
Mushrooms?
No.
Marijuana?
I mean, edibles every now and then.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you haven't gone crazy?
No.
Ever?
I've been very...
How metered you are.
Huh?
How very metered.
I've always been pretty metered person.
Okay.
Yeah. I went to... Like, we used to go play basketball. It's a 24-hour basketball place where everybody was going to parties. Like, me and my friends, that's what we did. And then we would go eat at, like, Waffle House and, like, maybe meet people who are coming back from parties.
Okay.
And I would go to, like, house parties. I didn't like the whole, like...
Did you meet girls at college going to play basketball on a Saturday night and then going to Waffle House? I'm sure you smelled amazing.
No, there were no girls playing basketball with us. No, there were no girls playing basketball with us.
So you would have to hit on them in the classroom if you're not.
Or like on the, like where our colleges met, we call it the Strip, like where Morehouse, Clark, Spelman kind of all met.
It was a hangout place.
Used to hang out there,
like the library.
Like
bring a blanket and sit in your suit.
No.
Do you stand there look like you're waiting for your cab to take you to your job?
I should have. Looking back, there was like, people are like, oh man, you didn't meet people. I was like, you have to run into me in order for me to meet you. I just wasn't good at that. So I just did the stuff that I was like decent
felt
at.
Comfortable too.
Yeah.
And going into a party and not knowing people made you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. Or yeah, I wasn't gonna not dance, but also wasn't like, I gotta be here. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, if I don't, what are we doing?
You're small talking with women so that you can make a girlfriend. Did you have a girlfriend in college?
No girlfriends.
Amy's about to call you a virgin. I can hear it in her voice.
Yeah, right. I feel like
a little virgin dweeb. Looks like he has glasses on.
There were no girlfriends. I mean, I like dated some girls or whatever. And I found out, my dad told me later, like, we had very similar college experience where like Girls would hit on us if we didn't know till like later.
Yeah.
And they and we'd be like, what? Huh? That was, what does that mean? And then the girls who I would hang out with, it would just be like, eventually they like wanted a guy who like wanted to do stuff.
And you just wanted to play video games and go play basketball.
No, no, I mean, I was like, I didn't have imagination. I'd be like, oh, you want, it's a date. Like, you want to like plan stuff out? I was like, I thought we were just hanging out, you know?
Or
like,
so
hanging out, making out. Like, I was, what are you, like, they want more.
Yeah.
You know. I didn't have that to offer.
They wanted to experience life.
Yeah. And I was like, we have everything we need here. What are you doing? Like a dummy. I was young and dumb.
Okay. And then did you... Now you say you have some moves. You can talk to girls.
Oh, I'm...
You can go up to a girl and be like, hey, here's my number.
Oh, hun, I'm...
Let me know if you want to see my crystals recharge in the moon.
Here's... That's funny. No, that... Here's what's... I don't get approached by crystal girls. You would think. Walking around with these crystals, with these dimples, crystal girls would be like, hey.
All the way.
Crystal girls, they don't talk to me, which is fine. But to answer your question, yes, I could talk to them. I give comedy all the credit for that. Once you bomb, nothing can hurt you.
You're right. And yeah. I think a certain amount of like comedy is throwing noodles at the wall and seeing what sticks. And it has to be the same thing with trying to pick up somebody.
Yeah. Also, now I'm like, I always tell people, like, my cousin was trying to like hook me up with this one of her coworkers. And I was like, don't do it. And she was like, why? She's this, she's that. I was like, I know. Here's the thing you need to know about me. We're going to go on a, if we like connected or whatever, it's going to go well. And she's going to want to talk to me more. And right now I don't have the space for that. And yeah. She was like, what do you mean? She's like, you have to understand, this is what I had to learn now. I'm professionally charismatic. You know what I'm saying? So like
and the rest of the day you're staring at a wall.
Yeah. So like I don't have bad dates. Like I know what the bar is out here for men. Like men, we're not good at holding conversation.
Oh, the bar is so low.
Exactly.
If you just remember what women say to you and don't actively be misogynist to them, they're like, oh my God.
This is the one.
Who is this man?
Yeah.
And he was like,
now add the fact that I'm professionally charismatic and I'm fun. So like I've been on dates.
And you've been close to Oprah. So you glow at night.
So I have an Oprah glow about me.
You have an Oprah story where they're just like, all right, let's have babies.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oprah knew this man's name. He can,
he's going places, right?
Yeah.
No, it's just, yeah. So I've been, always been very aware that like, I don't like to, I spent a lot of my 20s wasting women's time.
Oh, and they were falling in love with you.
And I was just like, what do you got
here? And you're not in all the way.
Yeah.
So you don't fall, sounds like you don't fall hard and no. In love and you're like romance and
but I love those things when I see other people they're I'm not anti any of that.
Uh-huh.
I just I've yet to it's yet to click for me and I hate that. I wish it did.
Uh-huh.
But it just hasn't done.
Hasn't clicked for you.
It hasn't clicked for
oh,
me.
I've been in love with everybody.
So that was my problem. My brother was like, you're always in love. And he was like, but you actually don't like these people. And I was like, ugh. My brother's very wise. And he was like, yeah, you fall in love. He's like, every day you fall in love. You see a girl, you fall in love. And he's like, but then you get closer and you're like, I don't like it. And I'm like, he's not wrong. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a personal question.
Yeah.
Do you have a collection of figurines or like small things? Do you have like a stone collection of pebbles you picked up on your journeys through the... universe.
Ooh.
Or
what do you mean?
Pokemon.
The way you said that when you're like, I'm gonna ask you a personal question.
Yeah,
I was so
I thought
ready.
It was deeper.
I was so ready for something, but I did not.
Are you a virgin?
Yeah.
Oh wow, that's more personal. No,
yeah.
No, I'm not. I used.
When
to...
did you and where did you lose your virginity?
Where?
Paint a picture.
Yeah. Oh wow.
I'm just kidding.
Give us the whole rundown.
No, thank you.
Were you wearing a bow tie?
Yes, I was. I had to wear the bow tie. No. What if I did? I was like, stop, we can't do this until I. She's like, get a condom? No. Get the
bow tie. You did a stint as a Chippendale dancer.
Yeah, that was ages ago. It was a good time of my life. I wanted to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Because I know that you musical theater background, right?
A little, yeah. Like
you,
I was this close to having a minor in college. I needed like two more credits or something.
Okay. So are you, I was in theater in high school.
Okay.
I did it because people said I wouldn't do it.
Oh, it's okay.
And I was in a musical.
You sound so stubborn.
I'm very stubborn. But everybody knows to get me to do something, you have to like very strategically go, you won't do it. And then I go, yeah, well.
And then I proved
so
you wrong.
So I did The Music Man my senior year of high school.
Yes.
Yeah, The Music Man. I did The Music Man. I played Marcellus.
Which, is that the one that does
That's the friend.
Poopsie?
Yeah, Shapoopy.
Shapoopy.
Yeah.
Shapoopy. Shapoopy.
Yeah. Oh, I know the whole song.
Right for me.
Yeah. Oh, a woman who kisses on a very first date is usually a hussy, but a woman who kisses on the second time around, anything but fussy. But a woman who waits to the third time around, head in the clouds, feet on the ground. She's the girl you're glad you found. She's your Shapoopy.
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 The girl is hard to get. Yeah.
Okay.
So I wanted to share that moment with you.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And that song is about, like, to women. Don't put out too quickly.
Yeah.
You're a whore.
I've never thought about the themes of this song till right now.
That's the theme of all musicals, pretty much.
Yeah. And do you think that energy was transmitted into you, and that's why in college you didn't go and to the parties and try to kiss all the girls and slut it up?
I wouldn't even, like, I'm looking back at me at that age. I think I just was, like, I didn't know how to talk to people in that setting. Like, I was a very, like, I need you one-on-one in order for this to work.
Okay.
There's nothing about anything I'm going to do at a party that's going to go, that guy. But if one-on-one, you're like, all right, I got a chance. So I just knew my odds, the odds were not in my favor at a party.
That's why I love in line at the bar. Because you make new friends waiting. Yeah.
But see, you also have to have a voice.
All you have to do is turn around to the person behind you. They're trapped there. They're waiting for their drink. There's no way they're getting out of line. And you've got them right in your hand. These are my moves.
That could work. Here's another thing I realized, too. At clubs or whatever, like, with music playing, my voice actually doesn't carry well.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, it was too many times when I would go.
Too loud.
It was, what? Huh? And I was just like, all right. This
is too much.
I'll meet you at Waffle House. Yeah. Like, where, like, it's quiet.
Dude, when it's loud, I go right into my upstate New York accent to get the voice.
It gets through. The voice gets through the noise.
It goes through the music, and it goes through the frozen tundra I grew up on.
I don't have that. I wish this is the part I need to switch and get your voice. If I had your voice, I would go back.
Hey, baby, you want to come to my
I guarantee you it room
work. And play video games?
I guarantee. I didn't even play video.
You played the unicycle game.
That was like in middle school.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't play it. I played like Madden or like sports games.
Sports
and stuff
games.
Like that.
Yeah. Okay. I think you are an accessories nerd.
Ooh.
Because the turning a tie into a bow tie and knowing how to tie a tie several different ways, and you've got a bracelet on, you've got two necklaces on, a fabulous watch. You're always wearing necklaces when I see you.
I think. All right. If I was gonna say what nerds I am. Mm-hmm. I could say accessories nerd. I think I'm a comedy nerd.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like a sports nerd for sure.
Uh-huh.
I'm also like a self-help kind of, like, I like to know what works for people.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm very
healthy
curious.
Habits, habit just like, stacking.
But just like how people interact. Yeah, like how people interact with each other, and like how, like, I'm very nerdy about, like, research shows that these people are lonely, and I go, what does that mean? And like figuring out how people like make that stuff make sense in their own lives, or like how people relate to other people. Like, I'm very big on like figuring out why human beings work with each other.
Oh, instead of just having war all the time.
Yeah. So I'm like, what works as far as humans? So I get very in the weeds.
And that's in the macro.
Yeah. I get very in the weeds about, like, people, human interactions.
That's
fascinating. I don't know if it's a nerd thing, but, like, yeah.
And that's what your degree's in, right? Because I actually don't know what that degree means.
Me either. Okay. Look at us not knowing together. Also, I'm 37 now, so I've become both a World War II nerd, and I'm very into smoked meats. I got really into smoking meats.
Carlette and I are into birds now. We turned 40 and we were into birds. And so 37 is World War II and smoked meats.
Okay. Yeah. I think so.
I think that tracks.
Yeah. I'm very into. I got for my birthday, my brother and sister got me like a butcher's knife, like a big knife so I can carve out
my
briskets.
Have you had gout yet?
No. I do it sparingly.
That's good.
So I don't like, and I also try to cook for other people. Like, I don't like do it a lot, but I love smoking meats, and I actually like cooking.
That's cool.
I'm very into cooking, but I don't like to tell people.
Now that's a way to get a girl.
See, and I know I'm good at it. So that's why I tell my friends the secret. They don't tell the girls that I meet. They don't tell them that I can cook.
Save it for like a surprise.
It's a secret.
It's like jokes. You want a surprise, a charming surprise at the end.
Yeah. Wait, do you travel? Do you tell people you're a comedian? This is random.
Oh, and like in the Uber and stuff?
Yeah. Do you tell
Only
people?
If I need to sell tickets. And okay. I'm like, can you tell all of your
what's
friends?
What's your go-to, like, my other job? Because every comedian has I actually do this.
I don't. You know what? Maybe people don't ask women what their jobs are a lot.
Interesting.
Yeah, people don't care about what women do.
We're not supposed to work. We're supposed to be home.
Damn.
Having naps.
I didn't think about that.
And eating cheese dick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of people don't think about women is the thing.
That's what it is. People are not thinking about women.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
As a woman, how does that make you feel?
Well, let's move on.
I'm not allowed to feel. Y'all. All right. I'm not allowed to feel. Oh, but Oprah said I could feel.
Yeah, no, Oprah said you could feel.
So, all right, tell people where they can find you. That was great.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Doerdie. Pretty sure I have a website.
DavePurdueComedy.com.
It's not updated, but yet, dude, even today I got an email.
Do you have a link tree?
No. I'm the worst comedian for this era.
When this camera is off, I'm going to put you in a headlock.
I'm so...
And I'm going to... You are such a good comedian. It's not fair that you're not taking the business side seriously.
There's the thing. I'm taking it a different type of serious.
Okay. You have less than a minute to explain. Go.
Here's what I mean. Because I don't do what everybody else does, which I'm not knocking what everybody else does. I think it works. I get asked to do only stuff that I want to do. So here's the thing. If somebody wants me, they actually have to, they actually want me to do the thing. So they have to find me. A booker.
What about the city of Detroit wants to see you? They should want to see you, but they can't because they don't see you.
Well, I probably wouldn't sell tickets there. So they
probably
don't.
Because you haven't done all the work.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. But I don't want to, if I go to Detroit, I want to hang out with my family. I don't want to
do shows. You don't want to do stand up?
No, unless somebody finds me for another thing and asks me to be there.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't do this on purpose. I'm not some kind of like
mad genius. Can you make enough money that way?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. Absolutely. Are you doing private corporate gigs because you can do clean?
There's so much you can do by not showing everything that you can do. I think comedians sometimes don't realize they gained a lot of skills. So a lot of times comedians are like, where have you been? And I'm like, oh, working on other things. Like, what does that mean? And it's like, oh, I'm like talking to like businesses about like DEI. You know what I mean? Like all types of other things that like, they're like, oh, a comedian could come and make this more interesting.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Good for you. Okay.
Yeah.
So as long as you can make a living and you can cook.
I do need a link tree. I said all to say. So it'd probably be very helpful if I had a link tree.
All right. Well, you send me everything and I'll stick it in the notes and people can click on you.
Okay.
It doesn't hurt. Just the first time.
Yes. No, I will do it. You're great, and I appreciate you. So whatever you say, I'm going
to
do.
Okay. You're too good to hide under a rock.
It's so fun hiding, though. Have you seen outside of the rock?
This is just like college. You got to go to the parties. Put on your sassy shirt and go to the party.
You're right. It is just like I got to put on a sassy shirt. Sassy shirt coming soon.
All right, thank you. Thank you for doing that.